Good morning, everybody. It's Teresa from Sojourn Retreat. It's part three of the prayer series today, and it's the 1st of August 2022. Just a quick recap. We looked in part one at what prayer is not, and then we also looked at what prayer is or should be. In part two, we looked at the asking aspect of prayer, and that we often pray for things that have already been given to us on the cross. We also touched on the fact that we sometimes pray for things that God has given us both the authority and instruction to deal with ourselves. And that we also looked at the fact that this authority that he has given us makes it possible for us to speak to the mountains in our lives. And so as promised today, I'm wanting to look at how we apply all of this in a practical manner and how when applied to our prayer life that it can lead to a more effective prayer life. Remember, I'm not saying that this is the only way to pray, but that it certainly is a much more effective way to pray. And so at this point, I think it's vital for me to just highlight that in all of the above, God is still the source of the power. So none of the above can be done in our own power or separate from God. And so as much as he's done these things for us on the cross and given us the authority and instruction to speak to the mountains in our lives, he remains the source, and the way that we access what was done on the cross and the promises in his word is through prayer, and more importantly, through fellowship, relationship, and communion with God. And this in itself should highlight the importance of prayer in any believer's life. And so let's look at its application. Let's look at our sins. I know that you will agree with me that according to the word, our sins are forgiven through the cross. And so in Colossians 1 verse 13 to 14, we look at it. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians 4 verse 32, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. And in Colossians 3 verse 13, it says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. So do we ask for forgiveness today? No. Does that mean that we just sin willy-nilly and live in sin? Or that we never speak of sin again, or the subject of sin is never broached again? Absolutely not. We all still sin today. But instead of asking for forgiveness, the moment we realize that we have sinned, we need to acknowledge our sin in prayer and then repent as soon as possible. Repentance is a choice on our part to turn away from our sin and to no longer sin. And then we thank God for sending Jesus to die for us. The second one I want to look at is healing. In the last session, we learned that healing was also part of the atonement. And so how do we pray for it when it has been done for us already on the cross? And also, if we were given the authority to deal with sickness, and more specifically with the enemy, and if we're able to speak to our mountain, what does that kind of prayer look like then? And so to start off with, we have to remember that God is still our source. And then in Jesus' name, we acknowledge that he died for our healing. In Jesus' name, we speak to that mountain, whatever that sickness is. And then we believe it. Remember in Mark 11, verse 22 to 23, it says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So let me recap. In Jesus' name, we acknowledge that God, Jesus died for our healing. In Jesus' name, we speak to the mountain, the sickness. And then we believe. And then we receive it through faith. Just like we received the forgiveness of our sins through faith. Just like we received our salvation through faith. And then we thank God for that. Thanksgiving is so important. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, it says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. In Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." And so I so wish I could do an in-depth teaching on every possible scenario we face today, and then its subsequent prayer application. And once Sojourn is up and running, I plan to host a weekend retreat to cover exactly that. But apart from the two topics I've touched on today, there are so many promises in the Word of God that we are able to access through prayer in the same manner. I want to show you that in John 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to kill and steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And so do you remember that verse where it says in Luke 10, verse 19, "Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." And so look at that. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but we have the authority and the power of the enemy. Remember that verse in James 4, verse 7, where it says, "When we submit to God, we can resist the enemy," and I want to put in there, this is my own paraphrasing, "speak to our mountain, and the enemy will flee from us." Prayer is so unbelievably powerful. In closing, I just want to add two very important things. Our words and our actions must line up with what we have prayed. We've touched on the power of the spoken word in previous teachings, and you'll remember the verse Proverbs 18, verse 21, which says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." We need to be so careful not to pray for something and then in unbelief tell our friends and family members all our problems and concerns. I've had to be so careful with this because it comes so naturally. It becomes a habit. And as for our actions, we need to operate in faith. Again, I want to refer to the verse in Mark 11, verse 22 to 23, where it says, "There must be no doubt in our hearts that what we have prayed for will be done." This is in the Word of God. It is not something I've made up. I have realized in hindsight that this is where I've lost a lot of my breakthrough. Doubt has made my faith waver. But how do we overcome this doubt? And I've learned, and I'm nowhere near a master at this, but I've learned to quote the Word of God when I feel doubt rising in my heart. Remember the Arsenal book I shared with you? The Word of God stirs up faith and it silences doubt. Singing praise and worship and listening to other healing testimonies will also help, or even other testimonies in general. So here are some examples. If I feel condemned for my sins after I've acknowledged them before God and repented, I look up and quote verses that confirm that I am in actual fact forgiven. If I feel a symptom rise up after I have spoken to my mountain in Jesus' name, received my healing, and thank God, I then find verses that confirm that I'm healed and I quote those to myself. If I don't see breakthrough after I've prayed in faith for something in Jesus' name with thanksgiving, I find a relevant verse that confirms God's promises to me. And I stand on that. I want to invite anybody that needs guidance in prayer in their lives right now to please send me a message. I would love to send you a written prayer applying the principles I've taught to you to your particular situation. And I truly believe that not only will it bless you, but I believe that I'm going to hear some awesome testimonies about it too. And so I truly believe that there is a way to a more effective prayer life. I want to wish you a blessed week, and we'll sojourn again soon. Have a great day.